The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases.
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
The NFL lost one of the greatest of all time today. Don Shula passed away at the age of 90. What do you mean for Miami? What do you mean for the NFL? Sports at large. The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. You can join the conversation at 888-729-3776. Coming up in this hour, everyone wants to make drama out of nothing. They want to act like Dax now got pressure on him. Leverage. Contractual issues. Might be a new starting quarterback in Dallas. No. Now Dallas just has the best backup quarterback in the NFL. Plus, we have to pick our best movies for those that take place at sea. We'll vote on that coming up a little bit later here on the Will Cain Show. But Don Shula, Miami Dolphins legend, passed away, according to the team, peacefully at home today at the age of 90. The NFL lost a great. Obviously, the city of Miami lost one of its icons. And to help us put it into perspective, context, to understand, frequent guest, contributor, personality on the Levitard Show and a Miami Herald sports columnist for many, many, many years, it's Greg Cody here on the Will Cain Show. What's up, Greg?
How you doing, Will?
I'm good. So let me start this. What do you think should be said right here, right now, today about Don Shula? What's the main thing we should say and understand about him?
Well, everybody knows the stats, you know, the winningest coach and the only perfect season and stuff like that. But, you know, what strikes me is that here's a guy who really didn't have a blemish, who did everything right, broke no rules, and really coached and won the right way for, you know, a third of a century when it counts the Baltimore days before coming to Miami in 1970. And down here, you know, he was just a constant. I mean, Don Shula on the sideline down here was a constant for 26 seasons, and he helped raise a lot of people down here, including myself. I mean, I was barely a teenager when he came to Miami, and when he left, I was a married father of two, and, you know, he helped raise so many sports fans down here, and he's just, you know, when I think of South Florida sports icons, Pat Riley is really the only one who deserves to be in the same conversation when it comes to a coach or an executive, and in terms of athletes, it's Dan Marino and Dwayne Wade, but then you have to include Shula. I mean, he was just that important. His stature was that great down here.
Yeah, Greg Cody here on the Will Cain Show, and I don't want to play the game of ranking people, you know, on the day they passed, but, you know, you bring up Pat Riley. The difference is that Shula had that longevity. You talked about 26 years. You know, I grew up in Dallas, or outside of Dallas, and, you know, we had Landry for all those years, kind of almost the same time frame as Miami had Shula. And they're kind of similar in a way. They're both understated, soft-spoken in a way, at least on one side of the door. You know, that's what it seemed like publicly. Don Shula just seemed like a nice, nice man, like from, I got to tell you, from whatever it was, 700 miles away in Texas. What was his personality like, Greg?
Well, he could be pretty fiery with his players. You know, there were times when he would melt Marino's face mask on the sideline if something went wrong. You know, he was mild mannered in person, but in his coaching clothes, he was pretty intense. And you know, I talked to him soon after he retired after the '95 season, and what he said was the only thing he missed about coaching was those 3 hours of adrenaline on a Sunday afternoon, that there was nothing he could find to replace that. And, you know, he just put everything into coaching. And the turnaround he made with the Dolphins from the expansion years to when he took over was just instant and dramatic. You know, prior to this past Super Bowl that Miami hosted, I talked to a bunch of his players during that time, Larry Zonka, Bob Greasy, and others, and Mercury Morris, a bunch of them. And, you know, they rave about Shula. They think of him as a father figure, and it's a great loss for this community. It really is.
I started to distinguish, Greg, him from Pat Riley just because of longevity. And, of course, with Riley now, he's an executive. So he's coach executive with the Heat organization for a long time. But you just don't see – you don't see a Shula with the Dolphins for 26 years, a Landry with the Cowboys for I don't even remember what it was now, but it was multiple decades. You did in the 70s and 80s, I guess, right? I mean, you did see it a little more, but why? Like, why was Don Shula married to that organization, that city, for so long?
You know, that's a good question. I think he loved living down here. He loved the warm weather after leaving Baltimore, but he just felt comfortable down here, and the fans felt comfortable with him. It's a strange thing when it comes to Shula and Marino and their imprint in South Florida. Marino, of course, never won a Super Bowl. Shula won two early in his Dolphin career and then never won again. But South Florida loves those two guys like it loves very few others who have ever played down here. There was just something special about Don Shula in the hearts of South Florida. And I think it was bigger than the Dolphins. It was bigger than sports. Well, you have to remember that in 1970, South Florida was like a wasteland when it came to sports. This was years before the Heat. It was decades before the Marlins and the Panthers. It was more than 10 years before the heyday and the glory years of Canes football. And so Don Shula made Miami matter. He was the guy who put us on the national map and made us proud to be winners down here when we hadn't been before.
What was your interaction with him like? You said you were a young guy when you started covering him, and you were married, father of two, when he retired. How was he to work with?
Well, he was great. He could be gruff if he were in a bad mood, but his eyes would light up when some of his grandkids would come to a practice after the end of the practice, and he'd lift his then very young grandson by the two arms over his head and refer to it as hang time. And he was jovial with his grandkids. He could be gruff with his players, but he was always great and forthright dealing with the media. I came to probably respect and admire him as much as anybody I've ever covered down here in sports.
And I know you mentioned you talked to some of his players, Greg Cody of the Miami Herald and Lebatard Show here on the Will Cain Show. I know you said you talked to some of his players. Did you say you talked to him, too, at the Super Bowl? When's the last time you talked to Don Shula or saw him publicly?
Yeah, I had a he had been very his public life had really diminished in the past several years. When the club had its 50th anniversary celebration, I think 2016, if I'm not mistaken, I had a long, extensive sit-down interview for him that you can find on video. That, I think, was the last time I saw him in person. I did, I did a big story prior to this past Super Bowl and of course, tried to get an interview with him, but by that time, he really wasn't doing interviews at all, and his wife, Mary Ann, agreed that, if I would submit questions to her by email, he would have him answer and get back to me. But that's how it was at the very end. He didn't walk on his own anymore. He was relegated to a scooter. I think his mind was pretty sharp to the very end, but his health had ebbed to the point where he really wasn't doing interviews anymore. Like I say, when I talked to him around 2016, he was so very healthy and gracious, and he just sort of went downhill in the past several months.
Was an all-time great, and I know what he meant to that city of Miami. I thank you for telling us about it, Greg. Thanks for jumping on the show today.
No problem, Will, anytime.
Okay, it's Greg Cody of the Miami Herald here on The Will Cain Show. Really quickly, while we're talking about Don Shula, our old buddy Glickman, he's in Florida? Glickman? I can never keep up. He's a jet setter. He's everywhere. Yeah, it's a famous Doors fan. What's up? You tell me.
Hey, man, how's the social distancing going?
Yeah, successfully, I would say, mostly. How about you?
Well, I don't even want to comment because Dr. Birx and Dr. Fauci, let's just not even get into that. But
Okay, deal.
The reason why I'm calling is because I'm still watching your show, even though I can't watch you, like, on TV. I just have to watch the WC. And then the Will Cain Show.
Right.
Which is fine. But I honestly, I just wanted to call and shed a little light. I didn't know if you knew this, but I grew up in Palm Beach, Florida, which is about 45 minutes from Miami, mm-hmm. 15 minutes from Mar-a-Lago, where our current president is.
Thank you for the geographic location.
All right, we don't need an entire map. Let's move it along.
So I just wanted to say, you know, I met Don twice.
You knew him personally, huh? Met him twice.
All right, Bubba. All right, careful, Bubba. Just pull the reins back on your Michael Jordan hatred.
I wouldn't say it was a personal relationship. This was more of a business, nice to meet you introduction, shaking of a hand type of situation. The second interaction I had with no, it doesn't make me anything.
No, I said between two legends. Yeah.
Between two legends.
Yeah.
I mean, those are your words, Will,
exactly.
Not mine. But, I mean, the second interaction I had with Don was a lot different. He was extremely, I'm trying to think of the right words to describe. He was just a transparent person.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, he didn't know me, Will. I mean, he might have known who he was meeting with, or, you know, he might have known some sort of backstory or something like that. I'm not putting myself
Trailblazer,
on
Trailblazer, Scion, the whole thing.
No,
right?
No. Like, I'm not putting myself on any pedestal here. Okay,
LeBron's
this
friend,
is about
that thing.
This is about Don Shula, and I'm just trying to just easily communicate a simple
easily communicate.
Okay,
I
think Bubba's got a point this time, Glickman. I need you. You do need to. What do you want to say about Don Shula?
That's out the window a long time ago.
Don Shula is more than what the press reports. He is better than what the press reports, and I just want the people to know that Don Shula isn't just the way in. Like, I mean, the guy you had just before on your show, Greg, I believe is his name, the reporter from Miami.
Yes, Greg Cody.
Yeah, Greg Cody. I'm familiar with Greg, and he reported everything correctly. But, you know, I'd like to add just a little bit, if I may, very quickly.
Way over break now, so let's do it quick, real quick.
Don Shula was a man of the people. This man could have run for a government office if he wanted to. That's how popular Don Shula was in Miami. And I just hope that everyone can look past certain conspiracy theories that I'm seeing floating around here in Miami. I just want people to look past that.
I don't even know what you're talking about. So you don't need to bring it up. I don't even know what you're talking about. So
good.
We're looking way past him.
Okay, good. Because okay. I just want everyone to focus on Don Shula and the great man that he truly was, and that I know that he was.
All right. Good stuff, Glickman. I got to go, man. See you, Glickman. By the way, we had Greg Cody from the Miami Herald. You can also check out his podcast, The Greg Cody Show Podcast, on the ESPN app. All right. Is that right, Nuno? It's on the ESPN app, right?
I don't think it is, no.
Oh, I thought it was part of Levitard and Friends, no?
I think it's through the Miami Herald.
Oh. Well, just Google Greg Cody Show Podcast.
Yeah, you can find it.
Hook it up. All right, best movie that takes place at sea with whatever time we have left after Glickman. That's coming up on The Will Cain Show.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One. What's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Former Bengals quarterback Andy Dalton is signing 1 year up to $7 million, including $3 million in guarantees from the Dallas Cowboys.
It'll be interesting to see if he turned down more money or a better opportunity somewhere else.
But you know he can start games and win them if you need.
Now have what many might call the best backup in the NFL behind Dak.
Is this in any way a leverage play with Dak?
Ooh, call on me, Teach. Call on me, my hands up. Yes, thank you. No, it is not in any way a leverage play with Dak. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Today, on ESPN Daily, in The Last Dance, Michael Jordan confirmed he said the infamous quote, "Republicans buy sneakers too." The story of the ripple effects of those words decades later. And Jordan's politics then and now. That's on ESPN Daily, presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. I'm curious what that analysis will be on the ripple effects of Republicans buy sneakers too. A little bit earlier on the Will Cain Show, I laid out for you that social justice and political agreement aren't the only way to lead. As Jordan said, you can lead by example and inspiration. He certainly has done that. You can go check that out on the Will Cain Show podcast, which is on Apple, iTunes, and wherever you get your podcasts. Andy Dalton is, as you heard there, the best backup quarterback in the NFL now. And that gives the Dallas Cowboys the best two deep at quarterback in the NFL. Who's even in the running? Let's talk about some teams that have a good starter and backup. Obviously, the New Orleans Saints now with Jameis Winston behind Drew Brees, and I'm not even sure Jameis is number two. They talk a lot about Love and Taysom Hill, so I don't know, three deep in New Orleans. The Packers drafted Jordan Love in the first round. I mean, he's a rookie. We have no idea what he'll be in the NFL. That's pretty attractive. So same analysis for the Chargers, Tyrod Taylor, Justin Herbert. We have no idea how good that is. We'll go ahead and extend that one more time to the Dolphins with Fitzpatrick and Tua. I mean, it sounds nice because of the investment, but it's not what the Cowboys or Saints have. The Ravens have a nice two deep with RG3 and Lamar Jackson, as do the Colts with Jacoby Brissett and Phillip Rivers. And the problem with the Bears is, even though they're both sort of similar to each other in playing level, neither of them rise to the heights, the levels of the Saints and the Cowboys, meaning Foles and Trubisky. But I'd put them above probably some of these rookie combos. I would say your best two deep in the NFL would be in this order. At number three, the Baltimore Ravens with RG3 and Lamar Jackson. At number two, I would say the New Orleans Saints with Jameis Winston and Drew Brees. But at number one, it is the Dallas Cowboys with Dak Prescott and Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton is starting level. Honestly, he's better than Jameis is right now. We'll see where Jameis ends up a year or two from now. I think, as I've said to you, I think he'll rehabilitate himself. But Andy Dalton is a better backup right now than is Jameis Winston. Don't you feel better about Andy Dalton winning you a game than Jameis Winston? I do. But it's not to be the starter, and it's not to be leverage. So I don't understand why everybody turns it into something about Dak. It's just not. Here's Myron Metcalf Sunday morning on ESPN Radio.
You are certainly sending a message that, listen, we think you're good right now. We're willing to pay you for this season. $30 million is a lot of money. We're not willing to commit long-term money to you. And the only time that's happened in the last 5 or 6 years in the NFL in a similar situation was with Kirk Cousins, who was franchise tagged, I believe, three times. And then he eventually moved on to Minnesota. You cannot tell me you've got a stable franchise or organization when your starting quarterback who led the number one offense in the league isn't signed to a long-term deal. You're just the Redskins all over again. You're just a team that is looks like an unstable group that doesn't know what it's going to do with its quarterback situation in the future, and that is a major problem for the Dallas Cowboys.
No, the Cowboys just signed the best backup in the league and has nothing to do with Dak. I think everybody has continued to misread this situation. The Cowboys have offered Dak something like $32, $33 million a year. They believe in Dak Prescott. The entire debate at this point is down to between 4 and 5 years. The Cowboys want 5 and Dak wants 4. But that deal will get done. It will. Coming up, the best movies at sea. Let's vote now. Who wins? Nuno. Bubba, Mike A., Pat, or myself. That's coming up on The Will Cain Show.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Best movie set at sea. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com. Let's get back into Jordan's mindset. Anger being driven to the heights that only he really has reached. A little bit later here on the Will Cain Show. But as you know, every Friday now and Monday, we assign and then grade our homework. This last weekend, our homework was best movies set at sea. It went like this here. I nominated The Hunt for the Red October. Mike nominated U571. Pat nominated Moana. Bubba nominated Jaws. And Nuno nominated Captain Phillips. Earlier in the first hour of the Will Cain Show, we agreed. Last place was secured by Mike A.
I still file protest. I file protest. I think Pat and Will made up their minds long before this happened. I think Nuno's worst pick was actually his own, but he wouldn't vote for it because Nuno has no sense of what the truth is.
Yeah, protest denied, but thanks for playing.
Shut up, Moana. Can we talk about that? Can we talk about the fact that Pat nominated Moana?
You just got beat by Moana. How about that? You just got beat by Moana.
You're welcome. Well done, Bubs.
Here's the standings. Here's the standings. You can get into Moana in just a second, Mike. Best movie not wins. Like, who nominated the best movie? Mike's got two wins. Will's got two wins. Bubba has one win. Nuno has zero wins. And Pat has zero wins. Worst movies. Bubba has two. Mike A has two. Will has one. Pat has one. And Nuno has zero. So essentially, Nuno's not even on the board. That's what's going on here.
He's just voting for himself and floating in the middle.
Right.
I think me only having one worst movie is the upset of the century.
You're negative one. Like, if we did a tally on this, how's this work? Mike, let's do that real quick. I'm winning, right? So Bubba is.
Well, let's also remember you have two half wins. Tied wins that a caller settled.
If you take my worst and negative them off my best, I'm plus one. Nuno's at zero. Mike, you're at zero. Bubba's at negative one, and Pat's at negative one. There we go. What's your issue with Moana, Mike? What's the deal?
It's not the issue. I am the only person of the five of us that has young children. There is a reason for me to watch Moana, okay? Bubba, Nuno, Pat, all single, and Will, your kids are older. What did that scene look like with you four gentlemen watching Moana and telling your, well, Will, for you telling your kids, I have to watch this?
They were excited. My family was, oh, Moana? I told you, my younger son actually is a little more stereotypically like dude. And like, I used to give him a hard time, like, Frozen's your favorite movie, just because it bothered him so much. He got so mad at me. So I was like, hey, Frozen's on, you know, just to mess with him. And he doesn't feel that way about Moana. He liked it. He was jazzed that Moana was coming on.
It's a great movie. Everyone liked it. It's a family movie.
But I got kids in the Target.
When I bought it off Amazon Prime, it asked me twice. Like, are you sure? Like, wait a minute. Based upon your profile, are you sure you should be watching this?
And, Can we register you with the FBI?
Yeah, that's what I feel like, right? If God forbid something goes sideways, it's going to be like, remember that time you ordered Moana?
By yourself on a Friday night.
You are the show creep, so.
It was Sunday afternoon. So, you know, made it a little bit better, I think.
Bubba, you're a single dude. You're 35. You rented Moana this weekend. I just want to know, when you clicked in to purchase, your expectation was Moana would be a what?
Well,
1 to 10 scale. 1 to 10.
I guess my expectation was probably like a, hoping for a 5 maybe.
And what was it?
Maybe around a three or four.
Oh, it came in below your expectations. Whoa.
I agree. I mean,
look at that. Bob Iger's on line nine. How about that?
I don't think they made the movie for a 35-year-old single guy. Look, I'm not crushing the movie. I mean, but it was just not, I don't think it was meant for me, you know?
Why are we treating Moana like it lost? U571 lost.
Yeah, shouldn't have. U571's about to make history here.
It might.
Of winning and losing?
Yeah,
oh, no
be.
Way. Could get be. Out of here. You guys are whack. Let's start the voting. Okay, all right.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to go, then Mike A. and Bubba. We're going to save Pat and Nuno for the last. I can see the drama already building. Okay, here's what I think. The two best movies were the two oldest movies, and that was surprising to me. You heard me say that I didn't think Jaws would do well. I thought Jaws was awesome and 100% holds up, which is stunning for a movie from the 70s. I think Hunt for Red October is awesome. I grant you, movies in the, that was 1990. They had a different pacing, but it's awesome. I think it was between those two for me. Hunt for Red October and Jaws for number one, and I will tell you, I vote Jaws number one.
All right, I will go next, and I am also going to go with my selection of Jaws as one of the ones I had already seen. So I think that does help. I'd be curious to know what it's like for someone seeing Jaws for the first time in 2020. But I think having seen it as a kid and seeing it again now, I think it definitely held up. It's a great movie. As crazy as the shark looks and everything, it's still terrifying. And the music, everything about it, it's still a quality movie and it's still the king. It's the best. Jaws number one.
There we go. Mike A?
For me, it came down to two. Jaws, obviously, is absolutely a classic. It still holds up. It still has that creepy feeling of the beach. It makes you look at the water differently. The other one I had on the top was The Hunt for Red October.
I think
it absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I actually believe in the truth and go into it with an open mind. Mister Makes Up Your Mind on Friday. In the end, though, it's Jaws. Jaws.
Hey, real quick, you thought
Just Edges is out.
Hunt for October holds up, yeah?
It absolutely.
I think so.
I was watching it and I was like, I can't believe this is 30 years old. I will say my only problem, Alec Baldwin, I don't buy him as a former Marine.
Well, that and some of the underwater stuff looks a little shaky. The underwater stuff hasn't completely aged well.
Well, I thought Alec Baldwin was the best Jack Ryan. Like, I got my issues with Alec Baldwin, but after he did that and they moved Harrison Ford into the role, because I think Alec Baldwin got mad or something, it was hard for me to invest in Harrison Ford as Jack Ryan. I thought Alec Baldwin was great
at it. But I don't buy Harrison Ford as a former Marine either. Like,
yeah. Bubba, did you like Hunt for October? Or you like U571 better?
Yeah, because I had never seen either of those. And I actually enjoyed all five overall. There was nothing I actually hated. Moana being fifth, and then I feel like the other four are kind of a separate category of actual movies for adults. To me, Hunt for Red October, seeing it 30 years later, I just felt it was just a little too slow and a little too dated for me, where I felt like U571 had some quality action towards the back end.
Another depth charge.
And was
you like the depth charges?
Yeah, you know, why not?
Let me say this in defense of U571. It was a modern movie made in a period from long ago, whereas Hunt for Red October was a modern movie made for modern times 30 years ago.
That's right.
So,
that's
like,
right.
It doesn't, like, all that technology, which is like, ooh, is like, yeah, that's kind of obsolete.
Exactly.
And I didn't hate
that's exactly
Red
right.
October,
and all like the all the screen effects, like the military riding, you know, on Hunt for October, that was like cutting edge at the time. You know, that was what it was. All right, Pat, what's your vote?
Jaws. I think Jaws is the best movie ever made.
Whoa.
Had you seen Jaws before this weekend, Pat?
I've seen Jaws probably 50 times in my life. I love Jaws. I'm not joking. I think it's the greatest movie of all time.
And I'll just skip to the end. Nuno picks his own.
No.
And we got a Captain Phillips vote.
No, U571. No, I'm joking. Actually, Jaws is clean sweep for me as well.
Oh, wow. Look at that. And Nuno, did you think Hunt for October held up?
I did. Like, it was, for me, it was 1-2 But I did like an instant of leaning Jaws, because there was a time or two, even watching Jaws, like where I actually jumped a little, like just for, even though it's so fake, that that shark, but it still got me like one of those
Absolutely.
Times. And I'm
That's
like, because
you can't swim.
But I'm not afraid of the water like Pat, who looks at Moana as his inspirational story.
By the way, when Quinn dies, like when he's getting, they
spoiler
had to,
alert.
Yeah, well, listen, if that's your fault in the 70s, they had to film it so many times because he couldn't stop laughing with all the blood that they made.
Really?
Him, yeah, he couldn't stop laughing. They had to keep filming it.
By the way, that Quint character is awesome. He's just an awesome character.
His speech about the Indianapolis is one of the greatest
awesome.
Scenes in movie history.
It's really good, yes. Jaws, I mean, by the way, that could be a category in of itself. Movies that hold up the best. Jaws might be up there. That thing is what, late 70s? Late 70s, I think? It holds up incredibly
By the way,
well.
Can I just point out that with this historical 5-0 vote, probably the first one we've ever had, Bubba
yes.
now picks the movies for this weekend, and
Uh-oh.
Bubba has seen like 8 movies in his life.
Uh-oh. Bubba joins Mike A. and Will with 2 wins. The final vote for this weekend, that means it's reverse order next week for the draft, is Jaws, Bubba, number 1, Hunt for Red October, Will, number 2. I believe it's going to work out like this. Captain Phillips, Nuno, 3, Moana, Pat, 4, and U571, Mike A., 5. I think that's how
Under
it worked
protest.
Out. All right. Coming up, the mindset of a champion with The Last Dance showed us about anger and grudges and what fueled Michael Jordan. That's coming up on The Will Cain Show.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring 3 advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
This is Will Cain.
People are afraid to win. I don't care if it's football. I don't care if it's business. Most people go through life looking to avoid failure.
Jaws, your number one movie at sea, just awarded here on The Will Cain Show. One of the movies that holds up the best, stands the test of time. We just decided. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. Go watch you some Jaws. Charles Barkley was on SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt last night. He talked about Jordan's mindset. What fueled him? Anger, hatred, chip on his shoulder, dominance, always finding a slight. Clyde Drexler, Isaiah Thomas, Dan Marley, Tony Kukoc. Whoever it was, Jordan found a reason to not just beat you, but to dominate you in quarters, in cards, in basketball. And on SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt, Charles Barkley talked about that Jordan mindset. Listen.
Well, it was difficult because, you know, if you lose to him, number one, you're never going to hear the end of it. Listen, there's no other person, as great as he was, there's no person in my life I ever met that I want to beat more in basketball. Because when you lose to him, you got to hear about it every day for the rest of your life.
And I've openly wondered today, open the phone lines up to you, if that's where greatness is achieved. You know, that anger, that hatred, that chip on your shoulder, that feeling of need to prove it or being slighted. Because Jordan just to this day speaks of hating Isaiah Thomas in the present tense. To this day sees slights, and to this day it's clear is driven by something like that. Ben Hartsock, who played for the Ohio State Buckeyes in 10 years, in the NFL on the offensive line, called up in response to that conversation. He said he's got a couple different elites that he can tell you about and their mindset. And none of them were what Jordan were. He said Peyton Manning was a perfectionist. He didn't chase others. He didn't chase reputation. He didn't chase proving it to you. He chased perfection. Everything he did in practice and in play was about achieving this unachievable goal, which is perfection. Brett Favre, I know it sounds goofy, but love of the game. Just fun. Hartsock said he sat at a table with Brett Favre and he had him tell stories in a final game of Favre's career that he wasn't supposed to play, injuries, age, but it was going to be a snow game. Brett's like, I'm not missing out on a snow game. Loved it. Loved the game. Played for fun like a kid. And then there was Greg Olsen, tied in for the Seattle Seahawks now with the Carolina Panthers forever. His dad was a state champion football coach, and it was to as Ben said, not earn his dad's love, but maybe his dad's pride. Always striving, always competing to get to that return. I think it's fascinating. It's true. I imagine there's different paths, different motivations, different engines at the heart of everybody's drive. For Jordan, though, as we watched The Last Dance, it is pretty obvious. It was this anger, hatred, even focus still wasn't out of control, this chip that was always driving him. The other big story of the day is the Dallas Cowboys signed Andy Dalton as backup quarterback to Dak Prescott. And many are going to make it, or try to make it, something that it's not. It's not that Andy Dalton is going to compete for a starting job. It's not that Andy Dalton now provides the Dallas Cowboys with leverage in their contract negotiations with Dak Prescott. No matter how many times you hear this, that analysis will be wrong. Like, honestly, the analysis has been wrong for what's going on between the Cowboys and Dak Prescott for over a year now. It's not about whether or not they believe in him. It's whether or not they can negotiate a contract. And it's not even about dollar amount, but in length, 4 versus 5 years that works for both. But here's what signing Andy Dalton is. It's five things. Number one, it's as a backup, the best backup in the NFL. It's depth. It's the best 1-2 punch in the NFL at the quarterback position. Andy Dalton now gives the Cowboys contingencies to go win a Super Bowl. And number two, that's the contingency we're talking about. 17-game regular season, expanded rosters. You can afford to invest in your backup quarterback now. And maybe that's why teams are drafting like quarterbacks like Jalen Hurts and Jordan Love higher. But you can invest in your backup quarterback now with a bigger roster and a longer slate of games. And number three, he's cheap. He's cheap. $3 million. That's cheaper than a second-round draft pick in terms of investment. I'm not talking about dollars, just in terms of opportunity cost and investment. $3 million for Andy Dalton? Yes, sir. Thank you. Number four, he is intel on the AFC North. That's who the Cowboys play this next year. They play the Bengals, the Steelers, the Browns. They play the Ravens. And who's been playing them twice a year for over about a decade? Andy Dalton. They've got intel on the AFC North with insight on those four games. And then fifth, most importantly, what is it? It's a ginger backup quarterback. Garrett, Whedon, Rush, Dalton.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to the Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.